You know, it has been noted in a tongue-in-cheek fashion that if the wise men had been wise women, they would have arrived the same night as the shepherds, not 2 years later, because unlike men, women will ask for directions. For the people of God, it is essential to study God's Word, because God will speak to whatever condition our lives are in if the Bible is read in a prayerful, anticipatory attitude. There are times when I read the Scripture and I'm just reading it just for devotional purposes, and it may be one of the most obscure portions of the Bible. I was reading Leviticus a few weeks ago, and I have to admit that is one of the driest areas in the Bible, you know. But there's golden nuggets found in the book of Leviticus. And you know, I realized something, that throughout the Scripture, God can prepare our hearts to read what God wants us to read from what He desires us to do, and it will meet our needs at that very moment. God has always called out people regardless of their status, background, or origin. Remember John Newton? He was a slave trader in the 18th century, and God called him into the ministry. He was the one who wrote Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound. He was on the bottom of the totem pole, literally. But God called him out of that repulsive profession, and he became a minister of the gospel. So don't ever limit either yourselves or other people to your own framework. God does not work within a box. God works outside the box a lot of times. But yet we are the ones who put the limitations, not just on ourselves, but on others as well. The wise men who journeyed from the east had probably no connection with Judea, but they followed the star that God had placed in the heavens as their compass. We know little about them except what Matthew has written. Yet these travelers never veered from the path, but continued following where God was leading them. You know, many people never get the clue that God is calling them to better our world with His grace. Some people's plans preclude any sort of providential guidance because they have their lives supposedly figured out. How many of us have had our lives figured out? President Ulysses S. Grant said one time that every time he had his life figured out, there always arose an interference to change his plans. Yes, what we might start out with. You know, I started out in pre-law in college. You all know lawyers. I wanted to be an ambassador, a diplomat. I am an ambassador for Christ, but I wanted to be actually with the State Department. And guess what? I ended up with a degree in forestry, and now I'm in the ministry. So you need flexibility. God has plans that we may not even know about. Now, some of you say, well, I'm retired. I don't think God's got a plan for me. Yes, God has plans for all of us. It doesn't matter what your age is, whether you're 4 years old or 400 years old, you can still be used of God. You just have to keep an open mind on that. And you know what? Regardless of what happens, you know what? God can use you for His glory any minute of the day, any hour, any week of the day. You just think about what 2024 could bring for each of us if we would keep an open mind to the Spirit and allow the Spirit to lead us. There's nothing wrong with leaving what you've been doing and moving on and moving forward. Because if God is in it, there will be nothing but blessings. But yielding to God means to be a follower. That is difficult for most of us because that could create the thought that we have lost control or someone else will do the bossing. You know, God needs more than bosses are bullies in the church. God needs followers. That's what it's all about. It's not who's running the show. It's who we actually humble ourselves before. And it is God that we humble ourselves to. The wise men were introduced as part of God's plan for the inclusion of the Gentiles into the exclusive domain of the Jews. Remember, it was a very tight-fisted group of people. They did not want people to coming in from the outside. In fact, you've heard me say this, that when a devout Jew would walk down the street, say in Jerusalem or Nazareth, they would go home and take a bath, because if they'd rubbed up accidentally against a Gentile, they were polluted. It's like the untouchables in India. Devout Hindus will run the other way to stay away from them. Mahatma Gandhi started a movement to eliminate the untouchables, but they are considered the lowest of low. They are relegated to cleaning latrines out. That's how low on the scale that they are. So, look at what was happening. These wise men came from the east. We don't know their exact origin. Some say they might have been from the Himalayas, but who knows where they could have been from. But whatever it was, they followed that star. Mary and Joseph, who were devout Jews, must have been quite surprised to have received a visit from these foreigners who had traveled such a long distance to see their child. There have been many legends built up about these magi who traveled from the east. Most have no biblical foundation, but one thing is certain: those gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh provided the needed collateral for Joseph to take his family to Egypt and later to Nazareth, where Joseph set up his carpenter's shop. Mary and Joseph were not wealthy. Mary was blessed for bringing the Son of God into our world, but they were dirt poor. In fact, later on, just a little bit later in Matthew, it's revealed that Mary and Joseph went to the temple to do their offering sacrifice for the newborn son. They brought two doves with them, two turtle doves to sacrifice. Wealthy people would have brought a lamb or a goat. So no, they were not wealthy at all. They were on, again, on the bottom of the scale. God provides for us when we may be completely unaware of any need. See, God likes to spring surprises upon us. God likes to bless us with many things. And, you know, God knew that Joseph on his own could not have afforded a trip to Egypt by his own resources. The threat and terror of King Herod made it necessary for him to take his family and depart quickly. Something about this scripture I like, and it brought something up, it brought an epiphany to me to think about it. Egypt, ironically, as is seen in the Bible, was always a place of refuge in ancient times for the Jewish people, ever since the days of Abraham. And let us not forget about the Old Testament Joseph, who wore the coat of many colors. By the time of Christ, at least 2,000 years of Egyptian Israelite history had passed. So even in the Lord's day, when he was born, even Egypt was a place of safe refuge for the Jewish people. The result of obedience, in a summary, is that all Christians will be blessed when God comes in our way. And I say in our way, because God knows what we need before we even ask it. Remember when Joseph had his dream while in turmoil about Mary's pediatric condition? I mean, this was very serious, because he knew that Mary could have been stoned to death without having an official wedding ceremony at the time. God, through an angel, told him that all would be fine. Joseph truly believed it, but it certainly was a leap of faith. You know what a leap of faith is? It's stepping out, and you don't know what the next step could bring. Have you ever been in a room where the lights were turned out? You thought you remembered, how the furniture was arranged, but you'd end up stumbling over an ottoman or stumbling over something, or maybe your child's roller skate or something like that. See, it's scary to go into a place where it's dark and you just don't know where the solid ground could be. That's what a leap of faith is. But in our case, having a leap of faith is relying upon God, as did Joseph and Mary, as did all the great characters of the Bible who followed God. And that's what it was all about. And, you know, later during Christ's adult years, he mentioned about having faith without doubting. The influence of Joseph, his stepfather, is very evident here. And Joseph more than likely shared with our Lord about his own experience of trusting God in all matters. Guess what? It continues to be valid even unto this day, trusting God. If we would only trust God to take care of things, our lives would be totally different. But what do? We think we have to fix it. That is God's job to do. So now I'm not saying God may use things in our lives or people in our lives or circumstances that may better them, but we can never rule out trusting God in all matters. And if we could all have the quality faith and trust in God that Joseph had attained, what a truly fulfilled life we would have. Perhaps we desire such a life. Who knows? But distractions and doubts make us less trusting than we should be. Have you ever met doom and gloom people who try to pop your balloon? They will do their best to just dissuade you about the direction you should go in because their faith is usually rotten. They don't have really any trust in God. But if you do and you share that, they're going to put you in your place. Don't listen to them. Listen to God. God is the ultimate source for wisdom. Now, if somebody you know comes your way, and as I said, sometimes they may give you the wisdom of God. But some of these naysayers, that's not of God. God is not negative. Remember that. God is not negative. But some people, even some preachers, turn God into an ogre because they want to make God to have smoke coming out of his nostrils. That's not God. God wants the best for each of us. You must believe it and not doubt it. Now you say, oh, I know that passage where Christ said you shouldn't doubt when you ask for things through prayer. You say, boy, I have doubts all the time. That's where you're supposed to start saying, God, I trust you. I don't need to hear those naysayers out there. But you know, there's always going to be a naysayer coming your way. It happens to all of us. Just remember, God is in charge and God is in control. Some say, well, there's a fool preaching in the pulpit today talking about trusting God. It's not foolish talk. It's fact. God will come through for us. You know, obedience and humility are the foundation for following Christ. Those are the marks of grace-filled faith, and God individually calls each of us. As people of faith, we don't respond because God needs us. We respond to God because we need God. That's what it's all about. It isn't easy, but it will be the best life one could ever imagine because it is found in the joy that God has bequeathed us. As this is the first Sunday of 2024, so if New Year's resolutions are to be made, perhaps the first and foremost should be faith and trust in God. Those wise men were people of faith and trusted in God. We don't know how and when God revealed to them its divine plan of the ages, who was living in Bethlehem, But God did. And we were included in God's wonderful scheme of things for eternity too. Again, trust God and you will have a happy new year, including a life of joy, peace, and blessings. If you don't believe me, read it in the Bible. The Bible will tell you it's all true. Let us pray. Oh Lord, let us forsake our doubts. Let us, as we are starting a new year, remember that you are still in control and charge of our lives. Thank you, Lord, for what you have done for us. May our year today, this year, 2024, be prosperous, not material-wise so much, but spiritually. Help us, O God, to see that you are still the one who sets our direction straight, that our GPS should always be ingrained with you. Help us, O Lord, when we have those doubts. Help us when things don't seem to be going our way. But we know you will take care of us. That is the comfort we had. Because it says in Romans, if God is for us, who can be against us? Let us remember that, O Lord, as we carry forth in January and go through December of 2024. We all ask this in the name of Christ our Savior. Amen.